Big John. Oh, Big John said that.
What am I doing wrong? Am I on?
Oh, there we go. Okay. Beautiful. Beautiful. He is beautiful. Jesus. Just kidding. Jesus is beautiful. Okay. Was that fulfilling for you? That worship? Huh? Really? Was it? Was it fulfilling for the Lord? Yeah, because you know why? Because we did it from our hearts. And we meant it. I know I did. And I believe you all did too. Because you know why? You guys are the serious ones. You guys come out on Wednesday nights. And I know that. I know that for sure, for sure. Because God told me. So I know. And that's the thing is, that's what I pray for. Every time I'm going to share with anybody, I just want to be a vessel for the Lord to be able to share through me, you know, and he can use me the way he created me to open up and reach out, you know. So first of all, I want to share a praise report. I was sharing with some of the praise team earlier before the service started. I went to the specialist today because I have a leg issue where I tore my quadricep and I had it x-rayed at the ER. Later, I went to my doctor. I ended up at another office to get a MRI. And then I went back to my doctor. Then I went to the specialist. Well, today was the big day. It's been 4 weeks since I hurt myself. And I haven't worked too much. I want to, and I really want to, but I keep staying off of it as much as I can because it hurts when I go down on my knees. But there's good news. So I really thought I was maybe going to need a surgery, you know. But people have been praying, and if you haven't been, it's okay. I'm not upset. I'm not saying all this. I don't want anybody to feel guilty for anything like that. That's not my reason for saying all this. I'm just saying, I know some people were praying for me. And I didn't pray for myself all that much because, I don't know, I focus more on others, you know. But I do think there's times when we need to pray even for ourselves. But God was so good. That was my point, was that God was good. So I got this report, and he said, hey, I think you're going to be pretty good in about 6 weeks. So I should be, you know, I don't need a surgery. He said, and probably with 2-3 weeks of these, like ibuprofen, a better one, would be enough to get that swelling down, let it heal up a little more. So there's like a cartilage where your muscle hooks into, you know, your bone somewhere, like on my knee. And I tore that cartilage loose and it moved about 2 centimeters. So it's just hanging on there pretty good still, because he tested my strength in my leg and I'm still at like 5s, which is the highest number. So in every direction. So I'm really happy about that. So thank God. So that means, you know, I'll be going again pretty soon. But I think it's time for me to start thinking about making some changes, because I really feel like, and I don't know about, maybe some of you feel the same way, but I feel like God's calling me into a deeper place. And I've been wanting to get into a more prayer time and more, obviously spending some more time in the Word. But there's this place where I want to go, where he's at. It's the secret place, you know? And so, thank you, brother, for that. But it's because I know that there's safety there. I know that where he's at is where I need to be. That's what I'm really feeling like. I've got to get there. I've got to be with him. And so my thoughts about what I'm doing are starting to change. And it's not because I love what I do for work. I love having, you know, all the things going on that I do and the interactions with our customers and with, you know, the other people that I meet along the way. And God's using me in all of those areas to share with others. Oh, by the way, I shared at the gas station the other day. I did. And I made a point because I started thinking, you know, I talk about doing that, you know, but I haven't really been doing it. Because, you know, we have our heart is saying, yeah, I want to do these things, Lord, you know. And we have good intentions. But then am I really doing this, you know? And so I'm like, hey, I need to get more active. So I was pumping my gas, and there was a guy who had the same year, same model, everything truck that I have. And it gave me a chance to open up, and I started, we just started talking, just friendly, right? And then he ended up really responding well. And while he was talking to me and everything, the Lord's whispering in my ear, I want you to mention me before you guys split up, you know? So I was just thinking, okay. So we kind of finished up our talk, and I turned, like I said, my goodbyes, and I turned to walk away, and then it was boom, and I turned back around, and I said, hey, by the way, I said, what about heaven? Are you going? And he was like, huh? It was like this really interesting look, you know? And he goes, did I hear you right? Are you asking me about heaven? And I said, yeah, I am. I said, I just want to know, do you know for sure if you're going to heaven? He goes, well, how can I know that for sure? How do I? He goes, are you asking me if I believe in Jesus? And I said, well, yeah. Do you believe in Jesus? I said, well, do you? And he said, yeah. And I said, well, are you living for him? I mean, are you reading your Bible? Are you praying? Are you going to church? And then if you're doing all of those, are you actually doing what he said? He said, come follow me and I'll make you a fisher of men. Are you actually fishing? Are you actually sharing the good news with others? I said, hey, I had to step out to do this. It wasn't like I'm super comfortable. I haven't fished in a while, you know, but I talk about it and I know how to do it. You know, it's like riding a bike. You remember you rode a bike at one point in your lives. I know we're getting up there, but we still remember what it's like to run around and play and ride a bicycle. Well, can you remember when you got saved and how jacked up on Jesus you were? I used to tell Jack that. Hey, that was a great message, Jack. I just got jacked up on Jesus, you know. I used to love messing with him like that. But So the guy was like, I said, hey, Matt, listen, I go, just think about these things. If you're calling yourself a Christian, I go, there's a lot of people who call themselves a Christian. And we do too, right? We call ourselves Christians. And it's not just this, but these are important things that we need to keep on doing. And so I feel like, and you guys are special. You guys are real special. God's using you all. Because a lot of you are in the ministry. You're in the ministry. You're visiting the ministry, but we're talking. You're getting closer and closer. Praise and worship leader, you know. Elder, teacher, elder, pastor. You know, almost everybody here is in the ministry of helps. And all I'm saying is there's more. And are we really wanting more? You too, Jeff. Are we really wanting more? Are we really wanting more of him? And what I'm talking about is not us doing a, like we learned in our elder board meeting, because a bunch of us are on the elder board in here, and we just learned about Uzzah, who while they were carting the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem, they were going across the threshing floor, And then the ox stumbled, and Uzzah, one of the men on the, you know, that were around the ark as they were going, the procession was moving forward. The cart started to tip, and he reached out to touch the ark to help steady it, and God killed him just like that. And you see, that's the difference between us today and them back then. He was a holy guy. He was doing a holy, his holy duties. By the way, they had clans back then, and different clans in the Levite, with the Levites, they would be the ones doing the temple work, and there would be, you know, the priest would go in and minister. And tonight, it's the clan of Latham that's coming in to do the to work the ministry, right? You see, I can when I read the Bible, I see it the way God wants me to hear it today, and I want to try to help us to make it relatable so we can apply it to our lives. Because if it's just, you know, Jews and Gentiles and things like that, we just don't catch that, because we're you know, we're not thinking that way. You know, we had a business meeting with our a safety meeting, and I was sharing about how Jesus broke down the wall between us. It was a safety, and I wanted to bring in unity to our crews. And half of us speak English and the other half of us speak Spanish. So I was trying to make a point when I brought up that scripture, and the word was saying that Jesus broke down that wall, and because of his sacrifice, he brought the two groups together and made one group, one people out of the two peoples. And so I said, instead of Jew and Gentile, I said the Spanish speakers and the English speakers. And somebody corrected me and said, oh, no, that's you can't do that. You're changing. Not one jot or tittle should be changed. And I was like, well, I was making a point. I'm not trying to change the Bible. I'm just trying to make it understandable so we can apply it to us today. And so, yeah, so let me pray. So, Father, Lord, we just thank you, Lord. I just praise you, and I just thank you, Lord, that the final song, Lord, said, you are our desire. And, Lord, I just pray that you increase our desire for you, Lord, because that's where we get everything we need. Everything we need is in you. And you're our shelter, Lord, and you're our hiding place. You're our secret place. You're our refuge, and we need you, Lord. And Lord, I just pray for your people here, because these are the ones getting it done. And Lord, I just pray that, like you do with the ones that are getting it done, you give them more to do, because they can handle it. And Lord, I thank you for them. And I pray, Lord, that you speak to their hearts, every single one of them, wherever they're at, and help them to see how much you desire them. In Jesus' name, amen. And so here we go. And look, I had another notebook. I took a lot of notes, and I was studying up, and then I'm like, man, I'm trying my best to just hear from God and deliver what he would have me to say. And because I don't want it to just be, well, I shouldn't say it like that. I want God to just speak, and I want to be out of the way. So I'm going to get out of the way and let him speak to us through his word. Let's start off with, speaking of his word, with John 17:17. And I'm just counting on the Holy Spirit tonight. Are you there? Amen. Okay. He says, make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is true. So, Jesus was praying to the Father in the garden, and he was saying, Lord, Father, please, I'm going to be coming back home with you. They're going to stay here. And he was praying for them. It says right here in verse 11 of John 17, it says, now I am departing from the world. They are staying in this world, but I am coming to you, Holy Father. You have given me your name. Now protect them by the power of your name so that they will be united just as we are. So he wanted them to be united just like he wants us to be united. So when we start to have a problem with somebody, because, you know, we're people and we're living with people and we're around people, there's going to be problems. It's just the way it is. It's going to be problems. And so I'm not worried about them so much tonight as I am about you and me and how we're going to handle the problems that we're having with others. And so, you know, here in the church, it's different than if we were out in the world somewhere working or doing something out there. This is a different, it's different in here because we're family, you know? And so, and God wants us to stay united, because if we're divided, then, you know, some of us are going to follow one group, and then some of us are going to follow another group. And God wants us to, Jesus dying so we don't have to be in groups like that anymore, because some people are going to think somebody's doing good and we need to do this. And then some others are going to say, no, I'm following this part and these people in this group. And then the church can't really work together because we've become divided. And I've seen that firsthand. I mean, I've had a church. I pastored a church. I pastored here before I came back. And then the church that God gave me right here, it was called Major Changes Church. And we met up right after the Sunday morning service. Back then, the service was at 9 a.m. for Aletheia. And then Major Changes met up at 11 a.m. And so I pastored that church here for a year and a half, and then moved on to another building. We saved up our money and moved out. And everything that was discussed before we got to that point, what happened? Jack would counsel me and tell me the steps that, you know, I needed to take, and that what God would do if I took these steps. And so he was a great mentor to me. And, you know, God put me back here, and now has me in charge of discipleship, which I just realized this weekend, like, he wants me to mentor people, you know? I mentor some of our workers at my job, and I'm at the coffee shop, and I mean, tons of people come up to me while I'm sitting there, and they want to shake my hand. They come to my table. Some of them sit down. We chit chat and talk. People from other churches, pastors from other churches, you know, and so I'm seeing God using me in those ways, and so I just started realizing more and more, like, how much grace and mercy he's given me, because I don't deserve any of this. But I also realize that because of the blood of Jesus and because of what he did and the price that he paid, I have access to the Father, which means in the old days, there was the high priest who would go into the Holy of Holies. There was the outer court. And my friend Roy talks about the outer court as being fire insurance, and then the inner court And in the inner court, there were those ones were the ones that they there was well them and then I'll just go to the then the priest would go into the Holy of Holies and behind the veil once a year and do his priestly duties. Well, when that guy would do that, you know, he had to be purified. He had to be right. And, you know, because you don't mess around with God like that, because, you know, he had a system for those priests and temple workers. And it's all laid out, you know, in the Old Testament, how they did those things. So we should not think that to take any of this lightly either, because, you know, God is holy. And when we don't treat that him holy or think of him that way, you know, and be serious about that, we can get in trouble. And so, you know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning of wisdom. And that's a place where we recognize who God is, and we have this real respect. And he's our Jesus introduced him as our heavenly Father. You know, he was God, you know, Yahweh, and on the holy mountain, they couldn't even touch the mountain, because they would, you know, even the animals, you know, God, I mean, holy stuff. But you and I, because of the blood of Jesus, it's like your grandkids, when they come over, your kids, they come over and they run around in the house, and they come in, they just run around, and you just say, hey guys, you know, hey, take it easy, calm down, you know, and all that. And but we have that kind of access because of what Jesus did. And you know, this, our prayers are, it's the greatest wireless connection that there is. You know, I mean, there's, you know, I think about like the mail service. Remember, it used to be the Pony Express, and then it was Stagecoach. Yeah. And then, let me see, I got a couple of notes on that one. I might as well use what I have. I think I have them. Got all these notes. It's ridiculous. Maybe it's one more page. Oh, yeah. We had the, and then we had the telegraph system. Remember the telegraph system, where they, you know, and they would send messages back and forth. And then we had snail mail, you know, where just USPS, right? And the United States Postal Service. And then it went on to email or a fax, then the email. And then, as a joke, mental telepathy, but not really. That was just not very funny, okay? I just thought I'd put that in there, Belen. I'll blame it on her. It was a joke. And I was telling her a couple of things. She said, well, mental telepathy, and I thought it was funny, so I wrote it down. But but, you know, we can pray for a change in our circumstance, you know, our circumstances. Sometimes our Lord uses our circumstances to change us. And so I think, for me, like having this accident, there's been this, I think he's changing me. I asked Jim one time, because he and I are long, old gardeners. You know, we've, both of us had a long career in the gardening business as landscapers. And I got one more year and I can tie him up, but I don't know if I'm going to or not. But anyway, I have a lot of respect for Jim because of that. And I know how hard this business, how hard the work is. And anybody that is in this business any length of time, I just have a tremendous amount of respect. because it takes a toll on you, and the commitment level that it takes to do it is you know, the heat, the cold, everything. There's a lot to it. But we pray for when we face difficult things, and prayer changes us. We decide to rely on God instead of look at our situation, right? And so I'm not looking at situations the same anymore, because as I've been spending more time with God, I'm starting to see that, hey, I can rely on Him more. And I have the word just kind of just as this has been happening more and more, the word's rattling around in me as I go through things. All of a sudden a scripture will pop up. Like you know, when I'm stressing for my money to pay things and or other things that are related to for our bills and things like that for our household. You know, I'm always concerned about taking care of Bellin and you know, keeping things up around there. But that scripture keeps coming up, and I hear it from some of you when you guys share. And so I'm hearing God all the time, you know, sharing that scripture out of Matthew 6, where it talks about, you know, where we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. So as I start to stress, that scripture just pops up into my mind, and I love it, because when I was cooled off with the Lord, and I couldn't remember scripture anymore. And so I was walking around like in the dark, and I was afraid, and I would worry. And one of the things that Jim shared, it's been a little while, but not that long ago, but I remember hearing him say, well, you know, I don't worry anymore. And even though there's stuff going on, when people would ask about that, well, what are you going to do about that? You know, that's this big thing. And he said, well, I don't worry about that. That's his problem, you know? And I just loved that. That just stuck. That was like, boom, right in there, you know? And I kept that, and I'm keeping it, because that one was good for me. And so is this anything here for you all? Because it was great for me, because I'm finding out like God is really for me. And I know He's really for you, and I'm just so thankful for each and every one of you. I'm praying for you, and I'm praying more. And I'm not boasting in any of that, because I can't, because I haven't been so great at it. You know, I'll be honest, and I'm not perfect either. So, and I'm not. I don't want to come across like that. I struggle just like anybody else, but also I'm not gonna belittle our God, who is huge, and my problems are tiny compared to this universe that we live in. I mean, man, God can handle it, and whatever we're going through. Now, getting back to these, I wanna get back to unity a little bit, because there's things there for us. So if we're having trouble with someone, let's go over to Titus chapter 3. You know, and this is good for us. Starting in verse 1, we're going to read through a little bit of this. It says, remind the believers to submit to the government and its officers. Well, here in our church, there's a church government. You know, we have the leaders, and there's, you know, Pastor Terry, and then all the rest of us. And then, you know, it goes down to the deacons. And so we have a chain of order here in our government here. So that way the ministry can continue to function if somebody is unable to continue or something happens. You know, we have our bylaws we have, you know, so we can, the mission statement, so we can know what the plan, the goal is for us. And it's on the bulletin, so you can see that anytime you want. I think that's still on the back of it. And so then it goes on and it says, they should be obedient, always ready to do what is good. So he's talking about the believers. He's talking about you and me because we're believers. And then so we do this, and then by our good example, those who are under us, who we're working with and encouraging to grow and helping to grow, they can see us doing these things. And, you know, when you think about some of the leaders that helped you to grow in this ministry, and I don't know who for you, but I know for me it was especially Jack, because I was closer to him because he took me in, you know, and he took me under his wing. And so I know today's times, some people are super, I know Albert really loves Terry, you know, and they're very close. And I love that. That's what it's supposed to be. You know, we're supposed to have somebody that we really trust, that we can, that encourages us and that gives us the word, you know, helps us when we're doing wrong, helps us to, and encourages us to keep growing, and, you know, corrects us when we make mistakes, and, you know, and then encourages us when we feel like we've failed and we're not worthy, and but reminds us that no, just, you know, repent, and gives us solutions so we can continue to grow. And that's what we get to do, you know, for the others. And if you don't have somebody, find somebody. You guys have a lot, and there's people here, you know, that come every week, you know, and when we get a hold of them, some of them will start coming on Wednesday night, you know, because they're going to plug in more. Anyway, then it says they must not slander anyone and must avoid quarreling, you know, and that's what happens in families. They start quarreling, they start arguing. There's, you know, you expect your family member to be different than an acquaintance, because you expect them to know better. But, you know, there's people that sit in these chairs, and I know it's none of you, but there's people that come to churches, maybe not even this church, but in churches, and they're there, and some of them call themselves Christians, but are they really, you know? And so if we're looking at them and then getting upset and judging somebody, or, you know, giving up on somebody because they call themselves a Christian, but there's no real fruit, I don't know that person really is a Christian. And I don't think it may not be the right solution to just, you know, abandon that person because of that. I know there's scripture on that, and we're going to get to that right now. We'll get down there. It says in verse 9, it says, do not get involved in foolish discussions about spiritual pedigrees or in quarrels and fights about obedience to Jewish laws. These things are useless and a waste of time. If people are causing divisions among you, give a first and second warning. After that, have nothing more to do with them. But these are people that are believers. And so I'm just saying caution, you know, right there. Because, first of all, if we start thinking about them as an unbeliever, then we're back in good news mode. We're back in leading them to Christ mode. And it's easy when we go out to outreach and we see these people that are drug addicts and homeless that are, you know, kind of messed up, and they stay messed up for a while. We go and share, we feed them, we pray for them, and hope, you know, and believe that God is going to help them and help them to come to Christ. And then, but we're willing to do that week after week and stay with those people and not give up on them. And I'm saying that's how we ought to be with each other and with others around that may not really be walking tightly with the Lord or be stumbled up, you know. Because that's exactly what breaks the connection between us and God, is when we is when we fall into some sort of sin is a way that would break that connection, that wireless connection. The modem is, and the router is always on from heaven, but from earth, the signal gets blocked because when we sin, you know, and so we've got to get that, we've got to release that. So if we're holding on to some unforgiveness towards somebody, we need to get rid of it. If we're holding on, or we're talking about somebody, if we can't talk about somebody without saying something good about them to somebody else, that's not good. That's slander. We're slandering somebody when we tell somebody our problem with this other person, and we're not willing to go to God, pray for that person, and forgive them, and ask the Lord to help us with that. So that way, then we can, you know, be able to be around that person without thinking how terrible they are and what they've done wrong, you know, the things they've wronged us in, you know. I mean, we've got to work those things out. And that takes, that's not easy. I know. Those are things that took me out. And so I'm just sharing from firsthand experience. And I don't want to see anybody be separated from God because of anger and unforgiveness. So verse 11, for people like that have turned away from the truth and their own sins condemn them. So that's exactly what happens when we get into sin. We've actually turned back away from God, and we need help. Those people, like I, needed help. Thank God. I prayed. I actually prayed while I was in that condition. I said, Lord, I don't know what happened. I don't know how I got so far off track. But could you please just send somebody to help me and help me get back? I said, when are you coming back for me? I know you give people a chance, and you give us a time to, if we want to go the other way, you'll let us go. But you don't forget about us forever. Lord, I know you eventually will come back for me. Will you please send somebody? And it wasn't that long, and he did. And I talk about that because it's important. But now I want to go. I've got just a couple minutes, and I kind of want to, I think I'm just going to close on Psalm 91. Thanks for coming out in this hot weather. I know it would be nice to just sit in that ice cold air at home. Yours is hot. Wow. It's actually cooler outside than it is in your house? Man. Whoa. Lord, help her get that fixed. Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Gotcha. Yeah. It ain't cheap anymore for the electricity. I get it. Well, so in Psalm 91, let's look at this for a second. It says, those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. There's a living place there. We can find rest with him. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust him. For he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from the deadly disease. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Like Pastor Terry shared last week, he said how much the like a chicken covers its chicks. If there's a fire, the mama will cover those babies and keep them protected. And so that's what God is saying right there, that he'll do that for us if we come to him and protect us from the fire. So right now, I'm going to just say a closing prayer, and then we're going to dismiss the service, okay? So Father, Lord, I just thank you for this time, and Lord, I just pray again for your people, and Lord, thank you for all that you've done for us, Lord. Thank you for giving us a place, a refuge, a place of safety, Lord, where you'll protect us with you. And Lord, I just pray that, and thank you, Lord, that as your people focus more on getting into that place with you, Lord, that you'll be speaking, and that connection between us and you, Lord, will get that signal will get stronger, Lord, because we need to hear from you in these perilous times that we're living in. And Lord, we really need you, and we're going to need to have that as the darkness grows darker around us, Lord. Your light, Lord, will expose things, Lord, so that way we can know which way to turn and what to do when we need you, Lord. So I just pray that for all of them, Lord, these are your precious ones, Lord. Please help us all in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh.